B-Pod Studios.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And we are in the Tom Fair Tower Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch. And by now, you know all that. When she in that song is referring to partying, I wonder what she's referring to.
Cake and pie,
birthday cake, you know, and candles.
Yeah, like, cause, you know, is there like just mounds of blow? Like, what? I don't like
hookers. Yeah,
because usually when people refer to partying, it's like, you know, there's a lot of alcohol and drugs. Like, mm-hmm. They're partying.
Yeah,
like you could attend a party, and I'm not saying by any means that there's not ways, a million ways to enjoy yourself without the influence of substances.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us as individuals to find those activities, but the phrase partying, like, it's the weekend, like, I'm going to go party.
Yeah,
you know, you would assume that she's, you know, that's like what annoying people say, like, when they want to excuse their massive, you know, drug binges.
Yeah, maybe they're just doing whippets.
Yeah. Do you ever have, like, a friend who's like, yeah, we're partying, and then they're, like, just doing hard drugs, like, with two people in a house, and you're like, huh?
No.
No, that hasn't happened to me, friend.
Okay, so
I've never had that.
That was always, like, interesting to me. Like, for some reason, the term, and the reason I bring this up is because it hit a memory, is that I never, like, partying was just something that was in, like, metal songs. Like, I never really, like, thought about it, right? Like, mm-hmm, I didn't sure. know what, like, partying is. And then there was a stage when people started saying it, where there was a lot of heavy drug use in my city that I grew up in, and so people would be like, "Yeah, we're partying," and then you'd be like, "Okay," and then it would be like three people doing heroin, and you'd be like, "Oh, this doesn't seem like a party."
You know,
so it's somewhere between like a pizza party and then three people doing heroin. There's got to be somewhere in the middle there.
You know what's weird is that growing up, and even like in like college and even afterwards, even when I was in a band and I was around, like, you know, people like musicians and stuff like that, I've never like seen someone doing cocaine like until, I don't think it was until I went to a foreign country that I saw somebody doing cocaine. But it was like, I the worst that I always saw was tons of pot, tons of drinking, tons of pot, and maybe some meth. Like, I saw a little bit of that because
I've never seen anyone do meth.
You see, we've played like trailers and stuff. I mean, like, you know, in towns where people live in, you know, trailers, like the poorest of the poor. So I've seen that going around.
Now, were they were smoking meth?
Yeah. Like, it was in like a pipe. So it wasn't crack, but it was done in a pipe, and I was told that it was meth.
Well, I've never seen anyone shoot up. I've seen people go to the bathroom and then not come out, or go to the bathroom and then come out and immediately nod off on the couch.
And by the way, the meth thing I've only seen like once, and I got the hell out of, you know, like whatever situation I was in. I'm like, well, this obviously sucks. We need to get out of here.
Well, yeah. When I was in Atlanta, I saw millions. I mean, people go, you'd go into a bathroom and then the people I'd be with would be doing cocaine. I've never done it. I've never done it. I got to tell you, I'm a very together guy, man. I've never done it. Anything that speeds you up is of no interest to me. I don't I don't like that.
That is weird. It's like, of all like the shows we played and all the cities we went to, coke was not a thing. It was we're either getting stoned or you're getting drunk.
I guarantee you, it was all around.
No, it probably was, but I guess they just didn't do it in front of me.
Right. Is that it? But when the kids were doing heroin, when they were kids, and so I they weren't like pros yet.
Yeah.
So I think that they were still being pretty blasé about keeping it a secret. Like, they were. I remember Woodstock '99. That was, we went over to someone's house, and like a couple, this like girl, and then my friend who was like the ringleader, who had drug problems throughout his whole life. That was a situation where, like, wow, they're coming out of there and just falling asleep. It's not like you're not covering it up very well.
So while they were watching the closed circuit broadcast of Creed with Robbie Krieger from the Doors?
No, that miraculously woke them up. It was, we had one that we thought had overdosed, and then Krieger took the stage.
And they're like, whoa.
And then they immediately perked right up, and they were like, life is worth living.
Maybe it was the Moby set that they enjoyed so much.
Don't go through. I don't know if Moby made it to the TV because he was in the cool rave tent.
That's where the cool guys were. Sponsored by Pepsi.
Yeah, the rave tent sponsored by Pepsi. That seems like that might have, that was probably like at like 1 in the morning where Pepsi's cool rave set. Where Moby is on that documentary talking about how he's above it all while you're doing a corporate sponsored rave, which is, it doesn't take a scientist to know that's the lamest thing in the world.
Yeah, that was a little bit of revisionist history. I love it too. It's like, oh, it was such an awful thing. Well, then you took the paycheck. You did it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. That was my whole point. It's like, what did you expect? It was a rave. First of all, a rave. Raves were stupid anyway. And then B, like a corporate. I thought the whole point of the rave was, even on 90210, John.
Yes.
The point of the rave was these are secret parties like, yes. Where like drugs are everywhere and, you know, the cops can't find it. They don't know. And, you know, it's these secret spots. And then, you know, when they're announcing, hey, there's a rave and all the Pepsi you can drink. I don't doubt there was a lot of drug use at it. But nonetheless, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was doing something lame. But a lot of people don't like Moby, if you've noticed.
Well, I mean, I think that there has been some accusations about his behavior towards women, I believe.
Oh, really?
I think that Natalie Portman has spoken out about Moby being kind of a creep. I'm trying to remember what it was, but am I misremembering things? I thought a couple years ago, Natalie Portman came out with some sort of creepy story about how Moby wouldn't leave her alone, even though she was like really young.
Wouldn't it be funny if Natalie Portman beat up Moby?
Oh, she probably could.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I would imagine she could.
Yeah, so I guess in 2019, Moby apologized to Natalie Portman after she had said something about it. I guess he was dating her, and let's see, it says, remember back in 2019 when Moby claimed in his memoir that he and Natalie Portman briefly dated? Meanwhile, she described it as a much older man being creepy with me when I had just graduated high school. Well, 2 years later, that ordeal has been brought up once again. An interview with The Guardian spoke cryptically about the situation with faced with question like, why did he write about Portman and does he regret his behavior or at least recognize her rather less rosy description of their interaction? He said, a part of me wishes I could spend the next 2 hours deconstructing the whole thing, but there's levels of complexity and nuance that I
Please,
really can't get into.
By all means, that's what I want to listen to.
He said, obviously it became hard to ignore, especially when I had the tabloids camped outside my door. Yes, everyone can't wait to see what Moby says. But I guess I realized that if everyone in the world hates me, I could still wake up in my same comfortable bed every morning and go hiking.
Oh, good.
That was good. Right. There's nothing like a nice hike.
There you go.
So you are back, and your mom's now left to fend for herself.
She is. It's taking the training wheels off. And
if you don't know, Rich was a good boy. He was, the last 3 days, he was in South Carolina taking care of his mother, whose knee has been removed.
Yeah, she's got like a spacer there, just a big thing of, I guess it's like plastic, or I could tell it was plastic or goo, but
you would assume it's plastic, but they, you know, they got to wait to replace her knee, which is a very severe one. I told my mother about it, and of course, she didn't believe me. And
why would she believe
like, what is that? Like, what's the controversy?
What is so far out about that story that makes it unbelievable?
Because she didn't, her and my dad didn't have to do it.
Oh, okay.
So no one else can?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'm lying. All right. That's the big thing. Is All that right. Yes? My mother doesn't. My new thing now with my mother is that I'm a liar.
Maybe my mom's lying to me, and she actually has like a horrible disease right now.
Or maybe she just wanted you to come into town.
There you go.
She got a gigantic scar all the way up her leg.
It's a cheap way to have all the kids come visit.
She got carved up at the Mayo Clinic just so the kids could visit.
Yeah. So yeah, my mom didn't believe me. Because she said that, and then I said, no, I mean, you know, Rich is there. And she said, well, she must have like a horrible staph infection. And I said, well, Rich has not mentioned that. I think he would have mentioned that.
I think it's just one of those things that when you take that out, you just have to nuke your body to make sure that there's no infection in there whatsoever.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Rich, that amazingly, my mother, who has always been in marketing, doesn't know of every medical procedure that can take place. So that's, so, you know, I mean, it's hard to, I mean, I'm usually on her side with these things because she would know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always, your story is especially as glamorous as taking care of your mother. I'm always looking at with a cynical eye.
I'll tell you what, though, the one thing that you forget when you haven't been down south in a long time is the snail pace that everybody moves. I mean, it is jarring. And I know that's my fault. Like, I know it's because, you know, you live up here and you everything's...
But it's like, still America. Speed. See, but here's the deal. It's still America.
Sure.
Like, if you go to the Caribbean, where I go to a lot because I enjoy it, mm-hmm. It's on you. Like, you know that everything moves super slow there. Yeah. And, like, just you have to accept it. Just accept it. Like, people... I'll be on vacation and people will be, like, complaining. And I'm like, where do you think you are? Mm-hmm. Like things... Well, I'm paying to stay at this hotel, and it's like, yeah, dude, but, like, people move slow down here. The thing that sucks about the South is that it's America.
Right.
That it's still America.
Right, we should meet in the middle at some
point.
Like,
they get to vote right. for the same things we do. and I'll be at, like, my parents' golf club, and, like, and I'll go, and because I'm eating alone, so I'll sit at, like, the bar area to, like, you know, eat. And then there'll be five people on staff just talking, like just having a conversation while I'm sitting there for like 20 minutes. So, yes, I am aware of the snail's pace.
There was two times a day that I was away from my mom because, you know, she basically needs constant supervision, or she did at the very beginning.
Right.
And that was like right at lunchtime, right after the show, and then for dinner. And I would go to the Publix that was outside of her big neighborhood, and I ate every meal at
Publix.
Publix subs. I crushed the Publix subs because they're the greatest. So I get to the place, and, you know, there's one lady working there, and it's two people in front of me. It took me, no exaggeration, 10 to 15 minutes to get to serve the two people in front of me, and they're each getting one to two subs each. So I finally get to the front. She's as nice as, I mean, just the nicest human being on the planet. Oh, hello, honey. They always call you honey. Hey, how are you doing? What can I give for you? Like, I will take a foot long or a whole turkey and ham sub. And she goes, turkey and ham. Yes, turkey and ham, please. All right. She starts walking
club?
Away.
She was unfamiliar with the club.
Yes, it was Cold Cuts McCartney.
Did she ever have any? Did she have any cool toothpicks?
She's like, "What kind of bread would you like? Wheat." She goes, "Okay." She goes looking through all the bread. She goes, "It takes like 30 seconds to look through the bread." She goes, "Oh, we don't have wheat. Oh. We have grain." I'm like, "Okay, I'll take the grain." Oh. And at one point,
never take the grain.
I'll spare
it's
you.
Been
all,
there for too long.
I'll spare you all the graphic details as to why it took 7 minutes. I timed it 7 minutes to bake my sub, but here's one of them. She cuts open the bread. You know, they do it on the side.
Yeah.
And you know when the bread opens, it kind of starts flopping close? She had a problem with what she would do was she would open up the bread and try to put the meat in with both hands, and the bread would close up, and she'd go, oh, no, and put the meat back down
toothpicks.
And have to open it with two hands. And then she'd try to do it with one hand, but then she wasn't able to do it because only half of the side would stay open and
I
not the other.
I probably would have left
I just
by
wanted
now.
To, I wanted to run back around there and just go, I got it, and just... Rah!
You
got to
cut the meat in half.
It would have taken me 45 seconds to make that sandwich, and the whole time I'm telling myself, this is my problem. It's not her problem.
No, it's her problem.
I think that's the only thing that kept me sane was that this is my irrational thought.
Man,
it's not her.
It's not irrational. It's if you're making subs for a living, you should be able to make a sub.
But that's why you got to go Blimpies where they slice it fresh.
But I left my mother's house at 10:30 in Savannah and got in at almost midnight last night.
Nice.
Yeah, there was, I guess, all of New York shut down all their airports because there was zero visibility. As a matter of fact, when we landed, coming, because I had to do a layover because it's $1 million to fly now. So when we landed in LaGuardia, it shocked everybody on the plane because no one could see the runway out their window. It was that bad and that foggy. So when we hit, it was like, and it was a jarring experience. The plane even had like a hard time kind of landing because I think even the pilot had a hard time.
Was the market still open, the big LaGuardia market?
Oh,
there?
Yeah. great job with the market there. So it's gorgeous. It looks like it would be nice. But however, there had been 3 hours of stopped flights by the time we got there, and the line was a million years long.
Well, there's nothing they can do about that. They have a beautiful European-style market inside of LaGuardia Airport. Now, don't let Rich talk you out of it.
I'll talk you out of it if there's a 45-minute wait to get an apple.
I mean, it's not built to handle that kind of traffic. I mean, the people are making subs. It takes a long time.
It does.
All right. You're lucky the stuff was still open. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Oh, free agency was phenomenal yesterday. Let's get to everything going on. Well, maybe not for the Patriots, but for everyone else, big movement, including somebody who may be getting his comeuppance for being somewhat of a dick.
Yep. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This son of Dad and Rick Flair and nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
All right. What happened last night, Rich?
Well, champagne is going to be popping at the Las Vegas PF Chang's because the house that Mark Davis built. They're going to not only have a new coach in Josh McDaniels, but arguably the best receiver in the game. You got a sponsor there?
I do. I dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. What happened last night is brought to you by Mohegan Sun FanDuel Sportsbook. Bet on all the college and pro sports you want in person now at Mohegan Sun. You got to be 21 or over. For info, visit MohicanSun.com.
So the Raiders trade for Devontae Adams and in return give up this year's first and second round pick to Green Bay. On top of that, they make Devontae Parker the highest-paid wide receiver in the league with his with his new $141.25 million contract over 5 years. That's an average of $28.2 million a year. Now, before you say, well, he went where the money is, I wouldn't be so sure because, according to ESPN's report, the Packers are willing to pay Devontae Adams as much or more than the Raiders did. It came down to him wanting out and to play with Derek Carr, his college quarterback. They also reported
Fresno State, baby.
Oh, what a pair they were. It also was reported that Aaron Rodgers knew this was coming, yet still signed his new Packers contract. Two thoughts. First of all, the AFC West is going to be just the most amazing arms race. I saw someone say that they should make a Red Zone channel just for that division.
But LA or Vegas is still so far behind those other teams.
I don't know about that. I mean, think about, so they got Chandler Jones in there, who obviously is still a very good defensive player. You now have arguably the best wide receiver in the league, a very good quarterback, yes. Not a great quarterback, but a very good quarterback.
Is Devontae Adams' production going to go up or down as a result of this trade?
Well, down, I mean, but I would think
still,
down.
But he's still the best receiver in football.
They have a very good tight end. On top of that, they've got, you know, you got Hunter Renfro, obviously, as well, too.
But when you look at a football team, you can't just go, like, they got this guy. Kansas City's better than them. Los Angeles is better than them. And then we'll see about Denver.
Well, Los Angeles is going to be interesting because it sure does seem like they got better. And you know that what's-his-name's going to continue to improve. Herbert is, you know, still young. So you would think that they're going to be better.
I just don't know if I'm a Vegas fan, if I'm like, now's the time to be giving up your first and second round picks. Is that maybe this isn't the year to do it. Maybe, you know, a couple years down the line. I mean, they got the best receiver in football, so congratulations. But, you know, is this the time to not be loading up on young talent?
Well, the one thing that is also sitting out there that I know everybody's talking about, and that is there's no way Devontae left for the same or less money to play with Derek freaking Carr. I know that they were best buddies in college, but I want to believe it's because Devontae finally realized what the rest of us know him for years, and that's Aaron Rodgers is a total prick.
But you don't understand the bond of the Fresno State alumni. Like, once you've been to Fresno State, you've really touched the sun, and you just, any way to recreate the Fresno State experience, I would imagine, is... You have to jump at that.
But aren't they doing what everyone's wishing that the Patriots would do? Like, aren't
the
they
Patriots
doing
did this even, last year?
Last year they did this last year.
But people still want them when the rest of your division or the rest of the league, rather, or the rest of the conference, I guess the AFC almost seems specifically, is getting better all around you. Don't you have to do whatever you can to improve?
Yeah, but they did it last year. They spent more money than anyone had ever spent.
They
in free
loaded
agency.
Up last year, and they're paying for it this year. They have no room for anybody. I mean,
don't say that. Don't say that. Everyone's got money to spend.
Okay. I know. Okay, so Rich, so they could maneuver. Okay, so this is why I don't understand why they did what they did last year. And I will be proven correct, and no one will remember. But they screwed up. They did it too early. So they signed all those free agents last year. Now, could they maneuver money around and, like, make a trade? Yes, obviously. I mean, the idea that the Bills could get Von Miller.
Well, that's the crazy.
And give a 48-year-old 9 years, like, of $200 million is crazy. So they could maneuver around for, like, a player, but are they, like, a player? Like, are they, if they got Devontae Adams now, are they going to win the Super Bowl?
No.
So that's no.
Are the Raiders? I mean,
no, that was my point, is that, like, if I'm a Raiders fan. Well, I'll ask you, Lockhart, if you're the Raiders, because Lockhart pays more attention to the NFL than anyone on the planet, if you're a Raiders fan, is this the year to be giving up a first and second round pick?
Yeah, I have no issue with that. They've drafted very well the last few years, and now you're adding a top playmaker with a quarterback that's, what, 28 years old, 29?
Where do you think they stand in the AFC West?
I mean, they were a playoff team last year, and they added good parts. So they're better than they were last year. It's just such a tough division. They're the probably second or third team.
Ooh, interesting.
Would you say the Broncos are the worst?
Maybe.
I don't know anything. I don't know.
The Chargers are young and up and coming.
Right.
Denver added a good, a veteran quarterback. Probably Denver, I would say. Right now is the fourth team, but they're better than a lot of teams in the AFC.
I know. It's going to be division.
You got to figure three of those teams are making the playoffs.
Yes, definitely, which is not a good sign for the Patriots. They might not make the playoffs.
The Patriots are making
the playoffs. It's like it's just the AFC all around got so much better.
Right.
When you actually start like writing down the names of the teams that you think are going to make the playoffs, Patriots are on the outside looking in.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
I mean, look, you have an opportunity now. Remember the idea was to trade for that right tackle from Dallas, L. Collins? And so $10 million, you can't fit that under the cap. Collins is now a free agent, and the Patriots apparently have no interest.
Yes, they've come out and said that.
Because of monetary concerns. They don't want to spend the money to bring this guy in. Now, you talk about how you can move the salary cap all the way around.
Everyone's doing it.
Seems to matter for the Patriots. Seems to matter.
Well, and there also might be the attitude that Kraft says, well, I spent all this money last season, like, well, I'm not doing it again.
Well, unfortunately, and we've had numerous guests on, and we're going to have Bert on for an hour. He can reiterate this. The Patriots roster 2 years ago was so bad, they needed to overspend just to get them back to break even.
Or they could have gone down to the studs.
Right.
As I suggested, and then had numerous draft picks.
But because
although I don't know who they could have gotten draft picks for at that point.
Because because they didn't do any of this, now they're paying for it. They're not Kraft won't spend the money, and you're right. He spent all of it last year, and now you are without a right tackle. Trent Brown is probably going to wind up in Seattle.
Well, listen to this.
That's what they're saying.
On top of the Devontae news, the bowl cut kid isn't done making some deals. A report from the Vegas Review-Journal yesterday said, quote, if the Raiders don't land Stephon Gilmore, it won't be for lack of trying. They are making a run. So Chandler Jones, Devontae Adams, Stephon Gilmore, a new coach in there, a wonderkind, if you believe what everyone says about Josh McDaniels. I love it. I do like the fact that they're going all in.
They're going all in on some older players. Yep. I mean, they're...
I just... I there's got to be, and maybe today will be the day that we hear a little bit more about the relationship between Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
Because Aaron Rodgers made it sound like they're best friends.
Well, I mean, that's not the case. The dagger of the story.
He did. He made it sound like they're best friends. But I mean, he stood next to him when the national anthem was playing and everything else.
But the biggest thing of the story is that the Packers were willing to outspend the Raiders to keep Devontae Adams. And Devontae Adams said, nope, I don't want to.
All right.
And it can't be because you wanted to play with Derek Carr.
I hope that's the case. Now, you guys, again, I hate doing this to you because it really shows there's a have and a couple have nots.
Okay.
But ESPN Plus has got something.
All right.
Now, you guys can't. Right. Now, it's a paywall.
Okay.
Right.
And I know you two jabronis hit your heads against this paywall all the time. They have the five best free agencies so far, which, by the way, means everything. It's grading the free agencies.
Because ESPN Plus has it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a can't-miss proposition.
Right.
I mean, they've – would you care to guess? And they're all AFC teams. Is this thing on? Would anyone care to guess who the top five?
Broncos.
The Broncos.
That was a trade. That was a free agency.
So the Broncos are not on this.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, no, overspent.
Well, the Raiders have to be on there. I mean, if they include what's happened over the last 24 hours.
That was a trade, but the Raiders, no.
But they got, isn't Chandler Jones a free agent?
Yeah, but Chandler Jones is an older player.
The Chargers, because of J.C. Jackson.
The Chargers are numero uno.
Yeah.
Would you care to guess who else? All AFC teams.
Buffalo.
Dose.
Yeah, because they got Von Miller.
Think. Think of brain trust. Think of doing things the right way.
Oh, the Jets.
Trace.
Yeah.
All right, and then it's Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I just wanted to you guys.
So that was an elaborate way for you to say the Jets are doing well.
If they suck, it's all on Wilson. No, but they're building the way that you should build.
I just want to make sure the reason you brought that list up is so we could mention that the Jets were third on that.
Yes.
Okay.
You have that much credit,
right,
sir. You have hit the nail on the proverbial
okay.
head.
Okay. Good for you.
Because Joe Douglas, listen, man, he's going to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens in 2023. It's all up to Zachy W. If he stinks, then it's all out. But if the kid shines, the talent, the draft picks, and then you know what the Jets are going to do in the free agency next year? Skaboom, making big moves, because that will be the year.
Okay.
So 2023, we shall see. Mm-hmm. We shall see. And then when it ends up coming, as this all has come, to, as I predicted, then everyone will ignore it or just yell at me. All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
We will get to the latest on Deshaun Watson. And when your star quarterback wants out and the team says nope.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff going for him right now. He's handling himself well. All right, so we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now.
That's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
All right. What else is going on?
Well, today most likely will be a day that changes the landscape of the quarterback position for several teams as everyone waits for the Deshaun Watson domino to fall. And I know I'm setting us up for disaster by saying this. And I know history is definitely not on our side. But I believe that we will find out where Deshaun Watson is headed next season before our show is over.
Today?
I think today you will find out.
There's no reason for it not to be today.
I mean, because right now I'm feeling irrationally optimistic this morning. The reason being is that we now know that it's down to two teams for Deshaun, the Saints and the Falcons, as Carolina was informed yesterday that they are out. And by the way, how much does that suck for them? They've been trying for 2 years to land a Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, they screwed around. They it's on them. They screwed around with that position last year. They could have drafted a quarterback. It's not a well-run team.
No, no. But I just love how, like, after all of this, and they're like one team that they weren't hiding from the fact that they wanted Deshaun Watson, and it just all ends with Deshaun going, nah.
Every single thing they could to land Deshaun Watson. I understand they messed up the position. They shouldn't have traded for Sam Darnold. I get that.
Well, they traded for Sam Darnold, and then they didn't draft a quarterback.
Right.
I mean, you got to draft a quarterback.
But in their pursuit of Deshaun Watson, they couldn't, like you were saying, Rich, they were open about wanting him. Mm-hmm. They made as many overtures as they could. They actually got a sit-down meeting with him, which was against all odds to begin with.
And then Deshaun looked at it and said, nope.
No,
yeah,
I don't think so.
And they're not going to be good this season. They're going to fire everyone.
You're probably right. Matt Rule's going to walk away with his $9 million a year, right? Isn't that what they gave him?
Oh, yeah. I don't feel sorry for Matt Rule. Rule will go pop, if he wants to, pop back into the college game and take any job he wants.
He could, but both the Saints and the Falcons making significant moves to get Watson yesterday. First off, the Saints restructured multiple contracts to clear up over $30 million more dollars to accommodate what could be Deshaun's massive potential salary. And then Adam Schefter announced that the Falcons, who were due to give Matt Ryan a $7.5 million roster bonus yesterday, said that they pushed it back to Tuesday in order to give the team a few more days to negotiate with Watson. Now, why the hell would Matt Ryan agree to that? Because he does have to agree to that for it to happen. It sounds to me, and I'm sure Bert will know more about this, like Matt said, all right, I'll move my bonus back a few days if I get to have a say in what team you trade me to if you do make this happen.
Makes sense.
Either way, I did see Bert tweet this yesterday. Ryan gets paid his money no matter what,
yes,
whether it's with the Falcons or with a new team.
And then it would be if they trade and the Falcons agree to take on, which they would have to. But the cap hit still is massive.
Once again, Fred, all this stuff, I'm learning more than ever this offseason that none of this makes any kind of difference. If the Falcons really want Deshaun Watson, it does sound like they
do. No, I know. But trading him, it's just not ideal.
No, but, you know, they're probably sick of what they've got. I mean, I can't see how you can look at,
Well, Deshaun Watson wants them. I mean, he called them.
Yep.
So
it's true.
You know, if he calls you, I mean, he's 25 years old. I mean, I would do what I have to do.
And if you're into conspiracy theories, how's this one? Kyle Pitts, the, of course, future superstar tight end from Atlanta, he posted a since-deleted tweet saying, quote, "It's about to get scary in Atlanta," with a mouth-zipped shut emoji. Fun fact, Kyle Pitts shares the same agent as Deshaun Watson, so who knows?
Yeah.
But you do know that, Fred, you're right. Deshaun called them. That was an out-of-nowhere one that no one was talking about. And now it sounds to me like the Falcons, as you said, are looking at that massive cap and thinking that number that they would take to get rid of Matt Ryan and trying to figure out some sort of creative way to make all of this work.
He's from suburban Atlanta, correct?
Deshaun Watson? He's from the state of Georgia.
Let's say it's suburban. Yeah. If you had like a 90-minute commute.
Okay, but the point is geographically.
Yes, he wants to play in Atlanta. And if he played in Atlanta, he would be the biggest star since Michael Vick to play sports in Atlanta.
I mean, it sure seems that way. Although, as I said, I've got a couple friends in Atlanta who are immediately
idiots.
Don't want him. I mean,
well, they're idiots.
If he's cleared, then of course. Then
your friends in Atlanta don't know anything. They're stupid.
They don't want to root for a guy who I guess has been accused of all of this stuff. And I was like, hey, have you gone through the rosters of the teams that you root for? There's a lot of bad stuff going on with a lot of these guys.
Those are very moral people.
I guess so. They must be.
Much more moral than me.
I think they kind of like to choose. But my whole thing is that if he ends up not being taken to court or anything, I mean, if he gets off on these charges, he still has the civil stuff hanging there, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't, I guess, affect his play. Now,
you're taking a huge risk. You still are if you're one of these teams.
The NFL, the suspension will cost you some time. He's going to get suspended one way or another, however long it is, 6 games, 10 games, a season, whatever it is. But he signed for 4 years, including this one.
A season is fairly unprecedented.
No.
It's
going to be a half season that gets knocked down a few games.
Whatever it is, eight becomes six, whatever it is. You're going to be missing him for some time.
Yeah. But so, you take that lump. He will be a black quarterback of that skill set in Atlanta from that area. I mean, Machi. Are you going to make money? I mean, off the field, that guy's going to make so much money. because all this stuff's going to be forgotten. Trust me. When Michael Vick got drafted in Atlanta, I never seen anything like it. In Atlanta. Atlanta's a place that, you know, remember, didn't sell out Braves game playoff games. They don't, for some inexplicable reason, they don't care about the Hawks. Like
even when the Hawks were doing, remember a couple of years ago when you had Al Horford and they were the best team in the East?
I'll give you a perfect example of that. I was lucky enough to do a Celtics playoff game in Atlanta, and I was sitting there, and it's
50-50 Celtics fans?
No, it's 15 minutes before game time, 10 minutes before game time, and the place is three quarters empty.
Yeah. So no one cares about that, and then obviously they couldn't keep a hockey team. And, you know,
twice.
Right. And, you know, that's on the league. Phoenix gets to keep a team. But, I mean, they should have kept the team in Atlanta. But the...
Yeah, Nashville's got one that sells out every game.
Right.
Weird.
Atlanta's a big enough market where they should have made it work. Anyway, black quarterback in that town playing football. It's a football town. That will be, he will be a super duper star in that area.
Yep, there's no question. Now, another team that was in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes that was told, nah, he doesn't really want to play for you. That would be the Cleveland Browns. And what happened then? Baker Mayfield got his feelings hurt that they were looking at the bigger, better deal.
Yeah, he's very mature.
Well, you saw that big message he put out there on social media saying,
I contend he was drunk.
You think it was just drunk and wistful? Or
haven't you ever done something like that? I have.
Yeah.
Like, you have a few pops and then you're like... You know, you pick up the phone. Back in the day, you would pick up the phone and call someone. But, like, you know, you're just like... Guys, I love you so much. and then you like sit around like waiting for like I hope people say nice things.
But if he was drunk, he hasn't sobered up yet, because it sounds to me as if he was saying goodbye in that message, and now he is trying
angry.
To say goodbyes.
Yeah, now he's moved through the stages of grief.
Well, according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, Baker Mayfield did not like what was going on with Deshaun Watson, and he has requested a trade.
Now, okay, I keep interrupting you, I'm sorry, but if you're Baker Mayfield, can't you just, like, go, you know what, Deshaun Watson's better than me. Like, he's better than me. And, you know, it makes sense. And now it's not happening. I got to put my head down and get on with my life.
Well, according to reports, they said Cleveland had been hoping to move forward after the Deshaun Watson pursuit, and even offered to fly to Texas to meet with Baker Mayfield and say, no, everything's great. We love you. But from Baker Mayfield's perspective, the bridge is burned and it's time to move on. And
so where is it? And
the best part about all this is that apparently Tom Pelissero said that Cleveland had told Mayfield's camp that they are not accommodating his request to be traded. So let's have some fun. Here we go.
I'm in charge. Have a seat.
You're not going anywhere. You're going to be staying here, and you're going to like it. And the other thing, too, is they just brought in Amari Cooper as well. So, I mean, it's not like they've done nothing to make his life easier. Now, he hasn't had the best type of situation around him with all of the crap that he had to deal with OBJ's father and everything
else. I disagree. I think this is an ideal situation for a guy. All he has to do is hand the ball off 35 or 40 times a game, throw the occasional slant route. I mean, look, if you want to be a quarterback and throw for 5,000 yards, Cleveland is not your team. But in the best circumstances, he's got a good defense and a great running game and a really good offensive line.
Who's trading for him is my question.
Colts? Maybe.
Maybe.
They still need someone.
I'm going to give something up to get Baker Mayfield.
If you got nothing.
If you're Indianapolis, maybe.
And you talk about like just handing off the ball.
And by the way, I was just going to say, another perfect example. Decent offensive line, best running back in football.
Seattle needs a quarterback.
If I'm Seattle, I'm not trading for Baker Mayfield.
I wouldn't either. I'm a quarterback in every draft. But I'm thinking about like quarterback needy teams. Oh, what about, we just talked about the Charlotte or the Panthers.
I want
Carolina.
I'm going to give something. I'd rather have Darnold. I mean, I'm not, because again, I'm giving something up for Baker Mayfield.
Here's whose futures are uncertain.
By the way, in the last year of his contract.
Here's what quarterbacks' futures are uncertain right now with their current teams. Jimmy Garoppolo, we still don't know what's going to be happening with that. We don't know what's going on with Matt Ryan. We don't know what's going on with Baker Mayfield, and you have Deshaun Watson as well. Am I missing anybody else? Because there's a lot of uncertainty at the quarterback position that, oh, Kyler Murray, maybe you could even throw him in there, possibly.
Yeah, according to, like, a report, yeah.
So, I mean, and then you have teams like Seattle. They don't have a real quarterback
Drew
right
Locke.
Now.
They have Drew Locke.
But yeah. If I'm Seattle, I'm rebuilding. I'm not trading for a quarterback right now.
Not with a quarterback like Baker Mayfield on the last year of his contract. Put it this way: if you're rebuilding and you want someone to as a franchise cornerstone to kind of build the team around, Mayfield's not your guy.
No, you have to draft the guy. I mean, it would unless you get Deshaun Watson, you have to draft the guy. I mean, that's not the place Garoppolo is going to go. That's not the place that Mayfield's going to go. That's not the place that Matt Ryan's going to go.
So, Josina Anderson yesterday, I'm just now seeing this reported, she said, I'm told the Seahawks have discussed exploring requiring Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like a great move, but...
No, it seems... I don't know why you would give up one asset for Baker Mayfield. I mean, there's a ton of guys out there that can throw football. Baker Mayfield's not better than many of them. And I why would I pay the guy? You still have to pay. I mean, he's on the last deal of the number one pick in the draft. I mean, he makes a considerable amount of money.
Who has the most? I'm trying to think who has the most to offer right now to get like one of these quarterbacks. When you take a look at Indianapolis, you take a look at the Panthers, you take a look at Seattle. I mean, Seattle just got a nice little stash from the Russell Wilson trade.
I would.
So, I mean, it's interesting.
Seattle has the most to offer because they have all those picks.
Yeah, but why would I? I don't need those picks to get any of these guys.
No, you don't. You could use a second rounder to get probably Jimmy Garoppolo over there. That'd probably cost you a second rounder.
But as far as talent around a quarterback going to that franchise, I mean, Seattle has good wide receivers. No, Indianapolis has the best running back.
Indy
is a great
team.
Position. If you were one of these quarterbacks, you want to play for Indy.
Yeah, but the problem is if you're Indy, you're still like the sixth or seventh or eighth best team in the AFC. All right, Bert Breer, he's supposed to come here. He's supposed to be coming in here. He'll have. Is it too early for him to have his pastels on? Is it too early for him to be dressed as if he was coming straight from the ferry on Nantucket?
Yeah, it's not 70 yet.
It's going to be 70 today, so I don't know if he's going to be... Ooh. Is he going to have a belt on with fish?
The boat shoes?
Oh, maybe. No, he's gone to Ohio State on the people.
Oh, all right, there he is.
He's got a Buckeye.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.